Cloudy skies and 57.
It is 8:44 at AM 930 WEOL. Craig, it's a Monday after a Browns game. You know what that means, right?
Well, you know, this might be a first for us. Right? In all the years we've done this, I don't remember a Monday morning time. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, I don't think we were doing a show back when the Chiefs and the Browns had. Was that? Let's bring him on. Scott Petrick from the Chronicle Telegram. Good morning, Scott.
Hello?
Hello, Scott. Good morning. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We're connecting fine this morning as well. So the last time was the tie with, I think it was Marty Schottenheimer was the coach, if I'm not mistaken, back with the
Well, he was the coach of the Chiefs. It was 1989.
Chiefs, that's right. That's it. Okay. Yeah. I knew he was involved in there somewhere as well. But the front page of your Chronicle, you've got the one that says the stalemate still feels like a loss. Jim Ingram goes, when does a tie win? After a year without one. So I guess even when you look at it from a reporter standpoint, it kind of ends up being a tie either way.
Yeah, it's a tough one because, first of all, you don't see a whole lot of ties. The Browns took a while to kind of process it. If you talk to their players, they didn't know how, like Joe Bitonio, the left guard, didn't know how it would feel. And he goes, no, it definitely feels like a loss. Hugh Jackson took no consolation in the fact that the losing streak ended, but, you know, you go into a game trying to win, and they didn't accomplish that goal. And I think if you look at in the fourth quarter, they're down 14 points with about 8 minutes left, and to come back and finish with a tie, you take some solace in that. However, they had chances to win the game at the end of regulation and in overtime. They got 6 turnovers on defense and only created 1 on offense, and they weren't able to cash those into a win. So, you know, it could have been worse, but it could have been better, and that was the angle the Browns were taking. They were desperate to get a win, and it didn't happen.
Scott, was there any facet of the game that might have caught you by surprise, good or bad?
Well, I didn't expect the Browns to get 6 turnovers on defense. They got 17 all of last year, and I think this defense is much better. Myles Garrett played like you expect Myles Garrett, the number one pick in the draft, to play. And I think you're not going to see 6 every game, but you're going to see a lot of turnovers from this defense. That's what it's set up to do. And the other facet is, I thought Tyrod Taylor, the quarterback, would play better. He went 15 for 40, and he's usually more accurate than that. The weather had an impact, but I don't think you can use that as an excuse for all of it. Then given a chance to convert those turnovers into points, he didn't do it nearly enough. They only scored 7 points off turnovers, and that one they were given the ball in the 1 yard line. He had a chance to win the game at the end of regulation, and he and Josh Gordon had a miscommunication. The ball wasn't where I thought it was underthrown. Tyrod said it was more of a miscommunication, and he wound up throwing an interception, and it cost the Browns a chance to win the game before even getting to overtime. So there's a lot of focus on Tyrod Taylor. He's new. Baker Mayfield's sitting behind him on the bench, and he's going to have to play better if this team's going to win games.
The Browns had trouble running the ball in the first half. They did a little better in the second half, especially third quarter. Your thoughts on that and also the play of our new left tackle?
I thought new coordinator offensive coordinator Todd Haley, I thought his game plan was weird. And he worked for the Steelers, so maybe he thought they would do, you know, that they knew what was coming, so he switched it up. But in those rainy conditions, he came out throwing the ball a lot early. And he didn't go to the run enough, and then when he finally did in the third quarter, he had success. The only sustained drive the offense had all day, he called 8 straight runs, and it was a touchdown drive to start the third quarter. So I thought he should have gone to the run earlier, and I think that would have taken some pressure off Tyrod Taylor. I think it would have helped the offensive line, which was struggling to protect Tyrod Taylor, but it took Todd Haley too long to get there. And then left tackle Desmond Harrison, I thought he played better in the second half, but the first half was awful. When we talked to him Friday, I kept asking him about the jump from playing at West Georgia, a Division II college last year, to facing the Steelers, and he said, oh, it's going to be fine. He was super confident. Then he got out there Sunday, and You could tell he was nervous or overexcited, whatever, because he had two false starts. And I thought he was overmatched in the pass game and the run game in the first half. I thought he settled down in the second half. It's going to be interesting when you go back and see the film if the Browns and the coaches feel there was enough positives to stick with him, because you can't have a left tackle that's a liability.
Talking with Scott Patrick of the Chronicle-Telegram this morning, and follow Matt Scott Patrick also at brownzone.com for all the latest on what's happening with the Browns. When they have a high draft pick on defense, they always expect it to be an impact player. Denzel Ward at number four seemed to have a good game yesterday. Does that, considering the last time we've drafted a quarterback in the first round, nothing going there. How did his game play out yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big challenge. You know, you're facing the Steelers, high-powered offense. Antonio Brown is probably the best receiver in the league. Juju Smith-Schuster had a great rookie season a year ago. And Denzel Ward comes out and he has two interceptions. Sure, he gave up one touchdown, but I thought the coverage was good. He had his arm right in Brown's midsection on one of those back shoulder throws, which are nearly impossible to defend if it's a good throw and catch. So I thought he acquitted himself great. And that's exactly what you want to see out of your number four draft pick, especially in his first game. And for Myles Garrett, the number one pick the year before, to have two sacks and two forced fumbles. And Denzel Ward, the number four pick this year, to have two interceptions, I think is nothing but a great sign for this defense and this franchise.
Scott, we hadn't had a chance to talk with you at all about your appearances on Hard Knocks. What was that like for you to have your family spot you there? At least when somebody here at the station was thinking it was like a "Where's Scott?" You know, you could sort of every once in a while make an appearance on that. What was that like? I mean, being around while that was taking place.
Yeah, I guess everybody knows that I really go to work every day, not just sit at home. Yeah, it was interesting. You know, it was cool to see the behind the scenes stuff from the organization. You know, even though I'm there every day, obviously I'm not in the meeting rooms, so that's good insight for me as a reporter. And, you know, in Hard Knocks, they were everywhere. You know, I mean, we're standing around and the cameras are there and they have lights that are hot and the microphones are on top of you. So it's a little bit intrusive, but then you just get used to it. And when you're asking a question, you're asking a question, and there just happen to be extra microphones there and cameras that sometimes catch you. But it was interesting. I have heard from people, you know, some people I went to college with and stuff across the country. So that was kind of cool.
And I guess it also gives you a little insight. Maybe you can see something as it's produced as a half hour, hour piece or whatever, and sort of have been there, sort of know the full press conference or, you know, bits and pieces that come out and how things can kind of be threaded together to maybe create a storyline.
Sure, yeah. And what they think is valuable, you know, which questions they choose to air the question, not just the answer, which ones they show the answer to, you know, and what they focus on, you know. And it's interesting because they have so much footage because they have cameras everywhere. They're running around the field all day long. And to cut it down to this one-hour show every week, it's got to be just an incredible process to go through. But, you know, if you want to nitpick, you go, okay, why do they spend so much time on this? I don't really care about that. I want to see more of, you know, Todd Haley, or I want to see more meeting rooms. I want to see more of Hugh Jackson with John Dorsey rather than, you know, Devin Caduce with his crystals and rock. But overall, I think Browns fans really enjoyed it. And, you know, it was a good look at their franchise. And I think the Browns thought they came across well for a team that was a franchise that was 1-31. I think they picked up some fans and they look like a legitimate NFL franchise on the way back.
It does look like there's more of a, I don't know, you know, family atmosphere, however you want to put it, or something where you seem to, you hope that there's some sort of chemistry or bonding going on. Or does that seem like a change? Can you even sense that even when you were in the locker room yesterday? Or
you know, that's what the players say. Christian Kirksey, one of the captains, the linebacker, he has said that. It has definitely that feel to it. I think it's easy to say that before you play a game, you know, before you lose a game. They haven't really been tested from an adversity standpoint this season. Obviously, they were tested over and over the last 2 years. But I think part of that's a leadership thing, too. Tyrod Taylor's a great leader. Baker Mayfield, even though he's not playing, is a big-time leader. Jarvis Landry, the new receiver, set a different tone for the organization. And I think when you have that, it gives you a chance to be successful. Because if you're dysfunctional, from a personality standpoint, which we've seen in the past here, it makes it awfully difficult. And I do think the Browns have made strides, not only in that talent area, but in that area as well.
Well, we had rain and wind and all that stuff here. Next week, traveling to New Orleans, or is that, at New Orleans. What can we expect against the Saints this time around?
Well, first of all, the Saints are going to be fired up because they lost yesterday to Tampa Bay, and the Saints were favored to win. A lot of people think they're a Super Bowl contender. And I think they gave up 48 points, if I'm not mistaken. So I think you'll see a motivated Saints team. They'll be home, and that dome is really difficult to play in. It gets awfully loud. And then I think you got to focus on Tyrod Taylor because coming off 15 for 40 in wet conditions, you have no excuses inside the dome, right? Everything's perfect. So he's going to have to play better to, I think, calm things down, to settle down the offense, establish himself as not just a leader but as a playmaker, and to get in a rhythm because this team's going to have a chance to win games with this playmaking defense, but it needs the offense to keep up, and that's what Tyrod Taylor is going to have to prove in New Orleans inside the dome.
I'll see how much more of appearances of Josh Gordon we might see in a game like that too.
Yeah, I mean, Josh played a bunch yesterday. He got the start, which was a surprise, and then he didn't play for the next, like, two series. And then I think in the second half and overtime, I was trying to chart the plays, but it was just there's too much going on. I think he played about 90% of the snaps as the game progressed. So next week I think he'll play a total of, he might play 85% of the overall snaps, but he's got to get more targets. They only threw three balls to him, and he caught the one for the touchdown. I think you got to make him a bigger focus of your offense.
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk again next Monday, and hopefully we'll have a win. We'll have a decisive game next week.
There you go.
Unless we want to go for a tied season, let's do that. I don't know how that would work.
I'd like to see that myself.
Sure, right.
16 ties.
Yeah. Oh, they'll be the guy. Yeah, especially when it comes later towards the playoffs. Well, it's that half game that they have on either side that determines their standings. Scott, thanks for your time this morning. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, at Scott Petrick on Twitter. You can also go to brownzone.com to find out all about those. See, I always look for some oddball thing. They could just get another tie, right?
I would like to see.